Good morning. I'm also a man of over 40 years old. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your new grace and your new mercy. As we look into your word, we ask for your help. May we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to your word and learn from it this morning. Amen. Got a few questions for you. First one might be easier to answer than the second two. Have you ever lied before? I won't call for a show of hands. Second, have you ever lied to get out of a tight spot or a difficult situation? Third, have you ever lied about following Jesus to get out of a tough spot or a difficult conversation? If you can think to an actual situation, what were you scared of if you would have told the truth instead of a lie? What were you scared of might happen? Considering those things, start turning over to Mark 14. That's where we're at. Mark 14, 66. If you don't have your Bible, you can use your phone. It's not quite as good, but it'll do. The main person in our story today is Peter. We only have 7 verses. Peter is mentioned 18 times. This is all about Peter this morning. We are hours before the cross where Jesus is going to be crucified. We're just before there. Jesus has been arrested. And as he got arrested, he got hauled off, bound and hauled away by the soldiers. Peter and some of the others, they all scatter, but they follow from a distance. It's dark, they're following from a distance. Right now, when our story is taking place, Jesus is on trial at night at Caiaphas's house. They're falsely accusing him. They're hitting him. And in that same area, in the courtyard of Caiaphas's house, we're going to find Peter. He's on a trial of his own. So why don't you stand again, and let's read Mark 14:66 to the rest of the chapter. Mark 14:66. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with Jesus the Nazarene. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. And he went out to the porch. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, This is one of them. But he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean too. But he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you're talking about. Immediately, a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark, Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he began to weep. You can have a seat. We get to look at a section of Peter's life that he's not proud of, and ends with weeping. Let's back up a few hours. A few hours before this, Jesus is with his disciples. They're having this Last Supper together. They're enjoying this last meal. And if we back up to verse 27, you can follow in your Bibles there, Mark 14:27. They're eating bread. In verse 26, they sing a hymn. They go out to the Mount of Olives. Look at verse 27. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter kept insisting, Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the others were saying the same thing also. So Peter wasn't alone in here, but he's the spokesman. And he doesn't even just say it once. He said, Peter kept saying insistently, "I will never deny you. I would die before I would deny you." This is just a few hours before. After that, they go to the garden. Jesus is in prayer. Peter and some of the guys fall asleep. They come to arrest Jesus. And there we see Peter's courageous, right? He's swinging the sword. He chops that guy's ear off. But after that, after Jesus is bound, Peter scatters like everybody else. He's following from a distance. I picture them behind some bushes, and they see the lantern, so they're following, but they don't want to get caught up in it. They're following from a safe distance. Now Jesus has been brought to Caiaphas' house. He's the chief priest. And Caiaphas is on either maybe the main level or a higher level, and Peter is just below on a lower level. If you look at verse 66 we read today, 1466, as Peter was below in the courtyard, so he's either a few steps or he's lower down, he's in the courtyard, Jesus is on trial higher up. We're probably still in the night, it's cold, notice Peter's warming himself by the fire. He's there with some of the same guards that have just arrested Jesus. So we pick up the story today. Jesus is at Caiaphas' house in an unjust trial with false witnesses. Jesus is acting, and we'll read it a bit, he's acting with honor and self-control and courage. And in a way, Peter's having his own trial. How will he react? How will he succeed? What happens to Peter? Look at verse 66 of Mark 14. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're talking about." And he went on to the porch. So a servant girl of the high priest comes to Peter. You're one of them. You're one of those who follow Jesus, right? Now, Peter had a lot of options at this point. He hasn't said anything yet. He could have said, "I sure am. I've followed him for 3-4 years. I'm convinced he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've seen him do thousands of miracles. I've seen his power. I've seen his compassion. He is amazing. I can't believe they just arrested him. That's an unfair trial. We got to somehow help him. I don't know how this is part of his plan, but yes, I am one of his followers. He is the greatest. I believe he is truly the Messiah we've all been looking for." He could have said something like that. It seems like that was the attitude he had a few hours before with the sword. But he doesn't. And I think part of it is the guards are around him, some of the same guards that have just arrested Jesus. Oh boy, his master's been arrested, Jesus. He's feeling a bit scared. If they arrested him, he's getting beat up right now. He's getting slapped and punched. Maybe they're going to arrest him next. Whatever it is, he says, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. He pretends he doesn't know who Jesus is. What's the servant girl talking about? I think we can relate with Peter's fear. We've been in situations where we're feeling the pressure. His hero's been arrested. In fact, I think many of us have lied to avoid trouble or the possibility of trouble. I remember being at Green Valley School, like some of you guys are now, and there was this prayer meeting that would happen once a week, and I went a few times. And then I was with my friends, and it was about to start, and they're like, oh, don't you go to those prayer meetings? But these are the friends that didn't go, and I wanted to impress them, so no, I used to go. I don't go there anymore. I'm not part of that. It's just so easy to come out. If you think of Abraham in the Bible, he goes a couple of times to a new country. He says, this is my sister. He tells him it's his sister instead of his wife. He wants to avoid trouble, right? When you look out for yourself, you'll say all sorts of lies. I'd like to contrast for a second here Jesus and Peter. Jesus, right now, he is being all sorts of lies told about him. He's being slandered, false accusations. Peter, on the other hand, he's the one doing the lying. He's lying about who he is. When Jesus is confronted with, who are you? Are you the Son of God? Look at verse 61, just before Mark 14:61. But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him, saying, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? So that's the question Jesus is confronted with. Does he say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand. No. Look at verse 62. Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. When Jesus is confronted with a question that might get him in trouble, does he back down? Does he lie? No. He's courageous. He says exactly how it is. He says the truth right off the bat with courage. When Peter is confronted with a question that might get him in trouble, he backs down. He pretends he doesn't know. Jesus right now has been arrested and bound. Peter is here. He's actually free. He hasn't been arrested. He's walking around free. Jesus is being confronted by the most powerful, influential, smartest men in the land. The high priest, the elders, the Sanhedrin. Peter is being confronted by a lowly servant girl. And he's failing. If he was playing baseball, if he's getting a pitch thrown his way, he's missing. He's striking strike one. And Jesus, on the other hand, the most powerful man, he's arrested. He knows where this is going to lead, and he speaks with courage, and he speaks the truth. So Peter denies. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. And then what does it say? It says he goes to the porch, or he goes to the entrance. I think it's clear he's trying to get away. This servant girl's pestering me here. Maybe if I go over here, she's not going to bother me. I'll maybe blend in. Does that work? Well, let's look at verse 69. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, this is one of them. So he hasn't gotten away. He hasn't gotten out of it. Notice she says, it says, the servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, plural. Now it's not just the two of them. She's saying it to a bunch of people. Now a bunch of people are hearing, aren't you one of them? And if you combine Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's probably many more than three people who are asking him. Now, Mark doesn't give us his exact words this time. He just says that Peter denied knowing Jesus again, a second time. He's ashamed. He's scared to admit knowing Jesus in front of all these bystanders and this servant girl. Have you ever been ashamed or scared to admit that you followed Jesus because there was an intimidating crowd? Or were you scared of what might happen to you if they find out that you know Christ or you follow Christ? I think here, Peter's already lied once. The second time, do you think it's easier to lie than the first time? You've already lied. The pressure is rising. If he tells the truth now, he's going to have to say, yeah, I do know him actually, yeah. I was lying before, I was scared, but I was foolish to do that. He could have still done that. He could have said the truth, but he doubles down and sticks with his lie. Let's go quickly to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. We hear someone who has to double down. You lie once, you got to lie again. It's kind of a cool story. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at 25. 2 Kings 5:25. If you remember, there's this story of Naaman in the Old Testament. He's got leprosy. He finds Elisha to get healed. Elisha heals him. And then Naaman's this rich guy, and he says, "You heal me, I'll offer you all this treasure." Elisha says, "Nope, I don't need any treasure." But Elisha has this servant, Gehazi. And as they leave, Elisha and Gehazi, Gehazi sneaks back and says, "Oh yeah, Naaman, we're expecting some visitors. Elisha sent me, and we'd actually like some treasure." So he agrees, he gives them some clothing, some silver. So Gehazi takes this. Of course, Elisha doesn't know about it, and he takes it from Nahum. Nahum's happy to pay. He's healed. But we pick up the story in verse 25. It says, "But when he went and stood before his master," so this is Gehazi, "Elijah said to him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant went nowhere.'" Have your kids ever said that to the parents? I didn't go anywhere. Right? Gehazi's told one lie to get these treasures. Now when he's confronted with it, it's very natural to tell another lie to cover up that lie. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't go anywhere. And it doesn't go well for him if you keep on reading. But I think in a similar way here, Peter's denied Jesus once, and now when he's confronted again, he continues with that lie. And I think it's similar with us. Once we've lied once about something, when we're confronted again, it's a lot easier to lie again. So he's been throwing two balls. Peter's struck out on both of them. Verse 70, let's keep going. "After a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for you're a Galilean too.' And he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man you are talking about.'" Now it's more than one person accusing him. Notice it says the bystanders. So there's multiple people saying to him, "Yeah, you are. You're a Galilean. Yeah, you are with Jesus." And Matthew adds, they say, "Your accent gives you away." He would have had a certain accent being a Galilean. And they knew, yeah, you're the guy. What does he do? He began to curse and swear. Now, this is like, it's not like maybe swear words, what we might think of them. he's calling a curse on himself. He's making an oath saying, if I'm telling a lie, let me be cursed. If you guys are lying, you guys are going to be cursed. He's making a very serious thing. He obviously hasn't thought much about it. He knows he's lying, but in the moment, in the heat of it, he starts to say, I'm going to be cursed if I'm telling a lie. He's really doubling down on it. He's making this, in the moment, this rash oath. Of course, Jesus has talked about swearing and oaths. He said, you shouldn't even need an oath. You shouldn't need to swear by anything. Just if you say something, do it. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. But I don't think this teaching is running through Peter's mind right now. He's just feeling the pressure, and he's doing whatever he has to say. He's got to stand up for these other lies. He's feeling it. I imagine his heart beating fast. His face is probably getting red and sweaty. And I think he's yelling at this point. How about your own life? Have you ever told a lie? And then you have to tell another lie? Now because you told that one, you got to tell another one. And now the heat of it, you say something that you should never say. This is a vicious cycle of lying and sin, right? The more you get into it, the worse it gets, and you got to keep it up. That's why God tells us, tell the truth right away. We saw Jesus in that trial. He tells the truth right away, and they're going to ask him again, and he's just going to keep telling the truth. Now, if you have told a lie, so the best time to tell the truth is the first time. But if you've told a lie once, now the best time to tell the truth is the second time. Tell the truth while you can. If you've told two lies, the best time to tell the truth is the third time. Humble yourself. Whatever stage of lies you're in right now, fess up. Come clean today. Don't wait. Don't get sucked into this pattern, and next thing you know, you're making oaths and curses on yourself. Humble yourself before God. Tell the truth. Someone told me once, you don't have to have a good memory if you always tell the truth. If you're telling lies all the time, you're thinking, okay, well, I told this person that, and now I'm coming here. What can I tell them? What a terrible way to live. You're trapped. But if you always tell the truth, oh, that's a freeing, beautiful way that God's designed you to live. So my encouragement, if you feel stuck in a lie right now, confess your sin, tell the truth, and do it quickly. So how's Peter doing now? Look at verse 72. Immediately, one of Mark's favorite words, as soon as these words have come out of Peter's mouth, immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he began to weep. Jesus had just said, right at verse 30, truly I say to you, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And as soon as this rooster crows, it all comes flooding back to Peter. Oh, yeah, he said it. I said I'd never do it. I've done it. Matthew and Luke, they actually add, he went outside and wept bitterly. So Peter goes outside, he can hardly handle it, and he starts weeping bitterly. He is crushed. Turn to Luke 22 for a second. Brendan read this. I thought it's a powerful moment. Luke 22, 60. Luke chapter 22, verse 60. It's the same story, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. That's the Lord Jesus. So I don't know the exact scenario or the timing. Perhaps he could kind of see up there and Jesus was up there. Or maybe this at this time they were just taking Jesus down. He's coming down the stairs. I'm not sure of it, but somehow right at this point when the rooster crows, their eyes meet. And Jesus sees Peter and Peter sees Jesus. What sort of expression do you think was on the face of Jesus? What sort of expression do you think was on Peter's face? Seeing the one that he's just vehemently denied three times. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. And tell me out loud, how are you feeling if you're in Peter's shoes right now? Let's hear. Terrible. What else? Guilty. What's that? Shamed, upset. Yeah. Oh, he is just crushed. Like a fool, right? Pitiful. You're just unworthy, guilty, ashamed, weak. So what can we learn from this story of Peter? First of all, what do we learn about God in this story? Now, Peter's the focus, but what do we learn about Christ? I think, for one, God's always right. Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me. A few hours before, Jesus said it would happen. It happens. Second, Jesus always tells the truth. Peter doesn't, but Jesus does. In this trial that's going on at the same time, Jesus knows what's going to get him killed, and he speaks the truth because he has to. He's God. He's always speaking the truth. Three, we don't just get it here, but if we read ahead, we know that God is merciful. Brendan read how in just a little while, Jesus is going to come around Peter, and he's going to be gentle with him, and he's going to restore him. I don't know if you caught it in the scripture reading in Acts chapter 4, which is maybe a few months ahead of this time. Peter's no longer weeping bitterly, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is proclaiming the message. He's threatened with arrest there and standing up for Jesus. He gets arrested. He doesn't back down. He says, judge whether it's right or wrong. I got to speak the truth about God. And he's speaking with passion, with boldness. He's not a coward lying anymore. So I think we see the mercy and forgiveness of God here. In this man that was weak and humiliated, we see in just a short time, the Lord restores him and forgives him and uses him. This is good news for us, that we serve a loving, forgiving God. Because maybe you've lied. Maybe you've lied again to cover up that lie. Maybe you've been ashamed of Christ. It's not hopeless for you. God offers forgiveness. He offers grace. In fact, most of the people, maybe all, but the ones who have been humiliated, the ones who've been humbled, God uses them. So admit your sin, start telling the truth, be courageous, and be forgiven. What does this passage tell us, about humans? Well, we're very often, aren't we, like Peter. We're looking out for our own skin. We're selfish. We try to blend into the crowd instead of standing out, risking any kind of trouble. We sang the song there, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I think if we're honest, we admit that. We're prone to look out for ourselves. When backed into a corner, we will lie again, and then lose our temper and lie again. Maybe make some rash, foolish promises. We can be intimidated or scared of the smallest thing, like here's the female servant, lowly servant. We can be so intimidated by the smallest situations. Well, Jesus is standing strong with the most powerful men in the land. We can fail mightily, yet by the grace of God, we can be forgiven and used in His service. So admit that you're weak. Admit that you've sinned. Admit that you've lied. For when you are weak, then He is strong. When Peter faced pressure, he crumbled. When Jesus was under pressure, he prayed, he trusted his Father, he took the insults, the beating, the thorns, the nails. He conquered. He was victorious. When we are weak, Jesus is strong. So strong that he went to his death to save you and me. So strong that he rose from the dead. So strong that even now he's at the Father's right hand. So strong that one day he's coming back to judge the living and the dead, to take us to be with him. So final thoughts for this morning. Recognize your weakness and your sin. Recognize that in your sinful nature, you want to lie and do whatever you can to protect yourself, get out of trouble. But look to Jesus, stop cowering, and be bold for the one who is bold. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He did not back down. He humbled himself and went to his death so that you could be saved, that you could be forgiven. He died in your place. He is worthy. Don't be ashamed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We admit that we are weak and we easily fall into sin, lying, being ashamed of you. We ask that you forgive us. And Lord, I pray that the next opportunity we have to tell the truth, we'll tell it. Even if it's hard, especially if it's hard. Holy Spirit, give us your strength. Thank you for your mercy on us here. In Jesus' name, amen.